All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, please, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And I want to read you a couple of things. You remember that numbers mean something, right? All right, so 3 is the number of what? Completion, exactly right. God is 3, yet 1. All right, He is Father, Son, and Spirit, and those 3 are 1, complete, if you will. And God made us in His image, and He made us as body, soul, and spirit. And so those 3 make up 1 person. They make up 1 individual. We are 3 parts, yet we are 1 person. We are complete. Now, what happens at death is the soul and the spirit separate from the body. The body is under a curse. You remember that? Yes, the body is under a curse. And that's why we have disease, and that's why we wear glasses, and that's why we can't hear. And that's why our knees go bad and our hips go bad. And that's why John's hair fell out. And it just, you know, just keeps going. But that's the curse. And so when that body eventually gets to the place where it cannot sustain itself any longer, we call that death. And that is the separation of the soul from the body, or the body from the soul and the spirit. And the soul and the spirit are what goes to heaven. Your body stays here. And we put your body in the ground to await the day of the Lord when the trumpet sounds, and then the dead in Christ are going to rise first. So 3 is a number of completion. That's the point. Now, here's what I want you to notice tonight. I want you to notice that in the Gospel of John, Nicodemus is mentioned in 3 chapters. 3 chapters. And I want us to look at that tonight. We'll begin in chapter 3 and look at verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right, so we were all born once, right? How many of you were born once? All right, come on. Some of y'all up in the balcony, not sure? All right, yeah, you were. All right, everybody was born once. But Jesus said, we need to be born again, all right? And that born again is to be saved from our sin. We need to be born of the Lord. We need to be given birth by the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus said that, Nicodemus in verse 4 said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. All right, now go down to verse 14, And in verse 14, the Lord said to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, do you want a definition for eternal life? It's in verse 16. Eternal life is everlasting life. That means it's never going to end. It is just exactly what Jesus said it was. It's eternal. It has no end, no beginning, and no end. You say, well, how can my salvation have no beginning? Because your salvation came from the one who has no beginning. That's how. It comes from the Lord Jesus, not from anything that you and I have, you or I have done. All right, now, let's go look at the second one. Go over to John chapter 7. All right, John chapter 7. And I want you to look down. I'm not going to read all of this for the sake of time. Well, maybe I'll read a little bit so you'll know what's going on. All right, so the Lord is speaking in verse in the previous verses. In verse 32, look at that. It says, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, they sent officers to arrest the Lord Jesus. And then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, then I go unto him that sent me. All right, jump down to verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And John said, but this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this man is, what's the next two words? The prophet. Not just a prophet, and you'll notice prophet is capitalized. What they're saying, what the people were saying is, this man is the Messiah. This man is the promised Redeemer. This is the one that the Old Testament scriptures were telling us was coming. This is the one. So others said, look at verse 41, this is the Christ, the Messiah. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? You see, Jesus lived in Nazareth. All right, and they said, well, can the Messiah come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Always has been. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees. They said, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. And verse 50, watch. Nicodemus saith unto him, to them. So he's speaking now to the Sanhedrin, to the priest and chief priest and the Pharisees. And here's what he said. Now, oh, by the way, parentheses. John says, this Nicodemus is the one that came to Jesus by night. All right? Being one of them. So he was a Pharisee, if you remember back from chapter 3 in verse 1. So Nicodemus speaks up. Now, what does he say? Look at verse 51. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. So Nicodemus was the only one who spoke up. And evidently when he spoke up, that got the others to think for a moment, and they realized that they were jumping the gun here, trying to arrest the Lord Jesus. They didn't have any reason to arrest him. All right, but then that's one, that's two. Now let's get number three. All right, go over, please, to chapter 19. Chapter 19. Chapter 19. And I want us to look at verse 38. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Verse 38 says, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, which means Pilate said, okay, I think that's fitting. Go ahead and do it. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. Now, this was after the crucifixion. Now, verse 39, we read, and there came also who? Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. So in all three instances where Nicodemus is mentioned in the Gospel of John, in all three of these passages, we are told that Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus at night. So read on. It says that Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. In the garden, a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid. There laid, what's the next word? They. Who's they? Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. In other words, it was near. And every time we've gone to the Holy Land, we have gone to this spot, and we have sat there and looked at the place where Jesus was crucified, somewhere on that little mountain, and called Calvary. And then we have left there and walked just a little ways, probably about as far as from here to the hallway that goes down past the kitchen. And in that little short distance, there is a tomb. And that tomb has been carved out of the stone. And evidently, when Joseph carved it out, he intended for it to be for him and his family. And so they took the Lord Jesus and they laid him in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But Nicodemus was the man that brought the spices, a very costly array of spices. Now, if anybody knew what the law required, it would have been Nicodemus, right? If anybody knew what the law required, Nicodemus would have known that. And you will notice that John tells us that they did all of this according to the law. They did it all according to the law. Now, let's pray, and then we'll look at Nicodemus, the man who came to Jesus by night. Let's pray together. Our Father, now thank you for the Word of God, and I pray your blessings now upon us. I pray you will bless as I preach, and I pray that you will bless our folks as they listen. And Father, I just ask you to help us tonight to see some truths about Nicodemus and some principles about Nicodemus that will help us in our Christian lives. So bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Today, tonight, I want us to look at this man that all of us, I'm sure, are familiar with. We all know the name. That's one of the first Sunday school lessons that you will ever learn in Sunday school as a child, is the story of Nicodemus coming to the Lord Jesus and asking questions about how he could be saved. And we are told right in the very first verse that when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he came by night. Now, Nicodemus was he was a wealthy Pharisee. Okay, he as a Pharisee, all these Pharisees were like congressmen and senators. You know, they went into office penniless, and then after 4 years, they're multimillionaires. And that's the way these Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the rest of them were. And they went in with nothing, but they soon acquired a fortune for themselves. And this was a man who was an elderly member of the Sanhedrin. He was on the higher end of the council, so to speak, because we are told here that he was a ruler of the Jews. So he was respected. He was highly respected by the other 70 men that were on that council. And we noticed already three times in the Gospel of John, Nicodemus is mentioned. And I read to you all three of those instances. Now, I want us to start in chapter 3, and I want to show you, give you a little way to remember each of these times that Nicodemus was mentioned. First of all, in chapter 3 and verse 1, we see Nicodemus coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what chapter 3 and verse 1 says. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. So right there it is. I want us to look at this third chapter the first time that he is mentioned. And I want to point out to you that in this chapter is where Nicodemus came to Christ. He came at night. He came at night. Now, folks have tried to explain from a human standpoint why Nicodemus came at night. And everybody through a human standpoint has said that he came because he didn't want anybody else to see him. Well, you got to realize, folks, this man is way up there in the Pharisee hierarchy. He is way up there in the Sanhedrin. He has all the money that he could ever spend. He has all the fame and the prestige that that a man could want. And I just don't think that he cared one whit whether anybody saw him talking to Jesus or not. That's just my personal opinion. You say, well, if it wasn't because he was afraid he would be seen, then why do you think that he came to the Lord at night? I think that simply because it is mentioned in all three appearances. He came at night. He came at night. He came at night. Didn't have to say that in the other, in the last two. John did not have to say that. But he did before he ever told us the story of the second visit and the third visit that that is recorded about Nicodemus. So I think that there is probably more of a spiritual application. And I think probably what that is saying is that that Nicodemus was coming in the darkness because, spiritually speaking, he was in the dark. He had no light. And he was coming to the Lord Jesus in order to get the light that was missing in his life. So you say, "What? Well, but Pastor, he was a Pharisee. He was religious. He was a member of the Sanhedrin." Yes, but he was lost. You know, that's so hard for folks to digest, is it not? That somebody who is religious could be as lost as they could be. But there are many that way. Trust me on that. I have done funerals with some of these reverends, and they don't appreciate what I say in the funeral service. And so a couple of them have said, that was a little bit overboard, don't you think? All that get saved stuff. And I said, well, let me ask you, sir, if you were to die right now, do you know that you'd go to heaven? Well, that's personal. And I said, well, you know, it's real strange. In the Bible, they call that soul winning. And if we don't open our mouth and ask somebody and lead them to Christ, how are they going to know? All right? They can't just follow you around. Because most of the time, that especially that one down in Nitro where, and this is where most of this happened, that priest down in Nitro where I pastored Twin City Church, he was the most frequent visitor to the liquor store in town. And everybody knew it. Well, that's personal. I said, well, sir, folks can't follow you around and see Jesus. Well, what do you mean by that? And I said, I mean that folks can't follow you around and see Jesus. Now, can they? And boy, we changed the subject real quick. Well, I didn't. He did. All right? But folks, listen. Here's the bottom line. You're either saved or you're lost. I mean, it's just as simple as that, that you're either saved or you're lost. And the Lord Jesus knew that Nicodemus was spiritually living his life in darkness. And Jesus said to him, For example, look at verse 3. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then look, please, at verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Jesus kept Nicodemus on point. He kept him on point. He did not let Nicodemus take the discussion and go somewhere else with it. No, he kept it on point. And he explained to Nicodemus that that God sent the Lord Jesus himself. God sent Jesus, the man that he is speaking with, into this world so that people in this world could get saved. And he said the reason that God did that is because God loves all people. And he wants all to be saved. And of course, that meant that he wanted Nicodemus to be saved. Now, did Nicodemus get saved right here? I don't know. John doesn't tell us. John doesn't tell us. But you know, it kind of seems like he did. Because why would John put this in here if it didn't tie in to what happened in chapter 7? Why would he put it in here, the whole story? And by the way, in this story, so much of the foundation work for the doctrine of the of salvation is found. I mean, so much is found right here in John chapter 3. And so I think personally that the Lord Jesus told him how to be saved. And look at verse 18. In verse 18, he that believeth on him, on Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So who is saved? Well, the person that believes in Christ is the person who is saved. It's not the person that's religious. It's not the person that has a head knowledge of God. It is the person who has the heart knowledge of God. I've told you about Billy Sunday many times through the years, and one of the things that Billy Sunday used to say all the time is that most people are going to miss heaven by about 15 inches. And that's the distance from your head to your heart. People have a head knowledge, but have you a heart knowledge of the Lord? Have you believed with all your heart that the Lord Jesus came to die for you? Why is that person lost? Well, he's lost because he has not believed. And if you have not believed, my friend, then you are in spiritual darkness. And I think that that's why John emphasized the three times where Nicodemus was mentioned that he came to Jesus by night. Folks, listen, I don't know about you, but there's just something about the darkness. If you're sick, you don't want the darkness to come, do you? You can't wait for the light to shine in the morning. All of our grandkids, just about all of them, they when they spend the night, they'll say, Papa, can you leave that door open a little bit? Papa, can you turn that bathroom light on in there? You don't have to shut the door, Papa. Just leave it open a little bit. Why? Because the darkness. And I've tried to sit down and explain to them, there's nothing in the darkness that's going to get you. Nothing's going to get you. But still, there's that little fear that those little ones have. Something about the darkness, isn't there? But, you know, I could tolerate physical darkness. I could tolerate that. But spiritual darkness, You don't want to mess with that, folks. You don't want to mess with that spiritual darkness. I would be scared out of my mind to think that I could possibly go to sleep in the darkness of the night and then wake up in spiritual darkness forever in hell because I was not saved from my sin. Oh, I would not want to have that fear in my mind. What's the answer? Jesus said, you must be born again. I hope everybody listening to me knows for sure that you're born again. All right, secondly, he came to Christ in chapter 3, but then notice in chapter 7, Nicodemus spoke for Christ. He spoke. He spoke up. He didn't have to. And that's why I think if he didn't get saved right here, somewhere along the way, he got saved. And then when the group were meeting and they were trying to find some way to arrest the Lord Jesus and some way to silence him, Nicodemus was the only one who spoke up and said that they should not arrest the Lord Jesus. They didn't have anything against him. And they can't just arrest somebody because they don't like him. And so that's basically the stand that Nicodemus took. But notice, he spoke in that seventh chapter, he spoke for the Lord Jesus. You see, the next time after the third chapter that we see Nicodemus, the Lord Jesus is in trouble with all of the Pharisees. Notice the events which caused Nicodemus to speak up. You see, in verse 45, they wanted to arrest the Lord Jesus. They wanted him arrested. And in verse 45, they asked the officers, why have you not brought him to us? You see, they sent those officers to arrest him. And so when they came back and Jesus was not in their possession, they asked him, why did you not bring him with you? And folks, look at the Lord Jesus. Just look at what the testimony that he had. Because in verse 46, instead of arresting him, they said, never man spake like this man. You see, instead of arresting him, they were arrested by him. And they could not arrest him. They said, wow, we've never heard anybody speak like this man speaks. How can we arrest him? He didn't say anything that was off base. He didn't say anything that was against Rome. He didn't say anything that was against Pilate. He didn't say anything that was against King Herod. We've never heard anybody talk like this fella. And we just didn't think it was appropriate to arrest him. Never a man spake like this man. Well, folks, that's true because John 1:1 tells us that Jesus is the Word. All right? He's the Word. Never a man spake like this man. That's true indeed because John 6 and verse 63 tells us that our Lord's words are spirit and life. So, no man has ever spoken like Jesus spoke. Never a man spake like this man. True indeed, because this Lord Jesus, this man said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You see, the Alpha is the A in the Greek alphabet. It is the A, Alpha. And then the Z, the Omega is the Z in the Greek alphabet. It's the last letter of the Greek alphabet. It's Omega. So Jesus said, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I mean, you know, those guys said, man, without Jesus talking, we none of us would know anything. He's the Word. He's the A. He's the Z. He's all the letters in between. I mean, wisdom comes from Him. Knowledge comes from Him. Words come from Him. And so if we know anything, it's because of what He has to say. And notice what He says as He spoke up in verse 51. All right, look at verse 51. Let me just sort of anglicize it for you. In verse 51, Nicodemus says to them, basically, now you look at your Bible, Nicodemus says, can you arrest a guy for speculation? Can you arrest a guy for just because you don't like him and what he has to say? Can you silence him? Can you put him in jail because you don't like the message that he is speaking? I'm sure Nicodemus was just ready to look at him and say, hey guys, here's the deal. If you don't like what he's saying, don't listen to him. You know? But you can't shut a fella down because you just don't like him. You think that there's something wrong with him. That's not sufficient enough evidence. And Nicodemus said, how can you arrest a man before he can defend himself? And Nicodemus was taking up for the Lord Jesus. These Pharisees were notorious for putting people away that got in their way. I mean, they just, if they didn't like you, they would just do what the cancel culture is doing today. They would just shut you down. Can I give you an example? Look at chapter 8 and verse 1. Jesus, chapter 8, just you're probably on the same page there, but verse 1 of chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Now watch, here they come. And the scribes and the Democrats, that must be the NIV translation. All right, let me read it again. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst. Well, now, I got a question for you. How did they know? Spy it? No, they set her up. They set her up with one of their own. They were probably regular clients, truth be told. And they set her in the middle and accused her and wanted her to be stoned to death right there on the Temple Mount. Good grief. Man, you get in their way, and Jesus was in their way. You get in their way, and they'll crush you. They will do whatever it takes to defend their position. But Nicodemus spoke up, and he defended the Lord Jesus. And there are a lot of folks who believe that Nicodemus was at this point a believer. Did he get saved back in chapter 3? I would say he probably did. I mean, how could you sit there and listen to the Lord Jesus teach you the doctrine of salvation and not get saved? I mean, how could you do that? I mean, I guess it could be done, but I can't imagine it. But they think that now he got saved, but he hadn't told anybody yet. He doesn't want to give up his income yet. He doesn't want to lose his power and his position yet. But notice when push came to shove, it was Nicodemus, and Nicodemus alone. Out of all of those men on that Sanhedrin, only one fella stood up and said, "This is not right. We should not do this." Folks, we better hope that we have some men who will stand up Wednesday and say, "We cannot do this." You better be praying for your country. We are in dire need of God's people praying. And so I think that he was saved right there. If he wasn't saved here after what he heard Jesus teach him in John 3, then he was definitely thinking about it. And maybe this was what caused him to put his faith in the Lord, and that just made him jump up and defend Jesus. I don't know. But he came to Christ, then he spoke for Christ. And then, lastly, I want you to notice, he honored Christ. He honored Christ. God has now worked, and God has now dealt in this man's heart. God has him now where he can use him, where he can work through him. I think he is definitely saved. No doubt about it in chapter 19. And he is standing without fear now. In chapter 7, you could see the fear that was in his heart. But now in chapter 19, there's absolutely no fear in his life. Now we see him removing all doubt about the condition of his soul. There's no doubt that he is now born again. All right, let me show you two things about this honoring Jesus. Number one, the bold contrast. Notice the bold contrast between chapter 3 and chapter 19. Notice with me the bold contrast. In chapter 3, he creeps in at night. Creeps in at night. Sneaking almost. God has him, God records for us in that third chapter that he is coming by night. But then in chapter 19, now that he is saved and now that he has taken his stand, he is bold and he just comes right out to Pilate, goes by himself with Joseph maybe, but he goes and begs the body of Jesus. And Pilate said, "Yeah, you can take him and give him a proper burial." And so now that he's saved, I mean, he's no longer ashamed, is he? Now that he's saved, he's no longer afraid. But instead, he stands and stands tall. And here's the difference, folks. You get a whole new outlook when the Lord Jesus Christ saves your soul. I know I did. I got a whole different perspective of life when the Lord Jesus saved my soul. I hear folks saying all the time, "Well, I just don't know if I can live it." Oh, yes, you can. You know why you can? Because it's not up to you to live it. The one that is in you gives you the strength. I can almost imagine, I'm going to ask him when I get to heaven, I can almost imagine that when Nicodemus jumped up in chapter 7, that he probably, after he got to his feet, went, "Oh my goodness, what am I doing?" And I can imagine here in chapter 19 when he went marching before Pilate and demanding to see Pilate and asking for the body of Jesus. I can't prove it, but I can just almost imagine that when he was waiting on the door to open, he was standing there, he could probably hear his heart beating and asking himself, "What in the world am I doing?" But you see, when you get truly born again, when you get saved, man, everything changes, doesn't it? I remember in that month period while I was going to church and hearing the gospel but refusing, I didn't want to tell my unsaved heathen friends where I had been on Sunday. I didn't want them to know I went to church. They would say, "Where were you this weekend? We tried to get a hold of you. Where were you? We stopped by your house Sunday. Where were you?" And I said, "Well, I was out with the family." I wouldn't tell them I was at church. Sunday morning, and then the next Sunday morning, and then the next Sunday morning, and then the next Sunday morning, and Sunday night. It's been Sunday morning and Sunday night ever since. And then after I got saved, my only concern was to see that those heathens came to know Christ as their Savior. And a few of them did. Oh, a few of them laughed at me and they didn't want to hang around with me anymore. But some of them got saved. And that's the way the gospel works. You will honor the Lord Jesus after you get saved. You'll honor him by your life. And that's what Nicodemus did. Now, second thing, the value of the gifts that Nicodemus gave prove his devotion and his love to the Lord Jesus. You see, he brought myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. But notice, Nicodemus put off the full surrender of his life until after tragedy occurred. Think about that. You say, "What tragedy?" Jesus dying on the cross. Hey, this man is a Pharisee. He was probably in the crowd watching as Jesus hung on Calvary's cross. I can't prove that, but I figure he was. If he was a believer, if he was a disciple at this time, if he had been born again, no doubt, just like Peter, just like John, just like the rest of them that stood on the outskirts and watched, just like Mary standing there weeping for her son, I dare say Nicodemus would have been interested in what was going on as well. Because you see, he probably felt some guilt because he was a Pharisee. And they're the ones that sanctioned his death. So notice, he put off full surrender until tragedy occurred. Hey, Christian, listen, don't wait for a tragedy to happen before you give your heart and your efforts and your love and your devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't wait until your world falls apart and then say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to serve you." You may wait too long and the tragedy may just leave you to where you can't do much for God. But now, while you're healthy, and now, while you have the desire, Oh, I'm begging you. Use 2021 as a year that you're going to get something done for the Lord. It's going to be a different year. You say, Pastor, I'm just going to make this a different year. Well, I sure hope so, folks. I see so many people, and I have seen so many people through the years who waste their youth on sin and on serving sin until sin reaps its bitter harvest in their physical bodies, and then they start to think about the Lord, and I'm glad they do. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that, you know, they wake up finally. But I want you to just stop and think, what could be done now in your youth while you've got all that energy? What could you do for God? I'm telling you, you could do a whole lot more than what you think. A whole lot more than what you think. Several years ago, when I was pastoring out in Joliet, there was the mail came one day, and there was a letter. And the letter said, I know you won't remember me. And I didn't. And he sent me a picture. I didn't recognize him. I didn't know him. He said, you preached in 1973. I was a sophomore in college. He said, you preached in the fall of 1973 in a gymnasium down in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And he said, you gave a powerful message on how to be saved. And I was one of the teenagers in that auditorium that day. I was one of many who stepped out during the invitation, walked down, and stood at the front while you led all of us to Christ. He said, do you remember that? Well, to be honest with you, I didn't remember that. Because we used to do that just about every weekend. Just about every weekend. There were only a few weekends out of the whole year where we didn't go out on either a Friday night or a Saturday and preach. And so I read that letter, and he said, I know you won't remember it. He was right. But he said, I got saved in that meeting. And I just want you to know that I'm thankful. I've never forgotten that you were the man that preached when I got saved. And he said, I saw one of your sermons in the Sword of the Lord. And it said that you were the pastor of Ridgewood Baptist Church in Joliet, Illinois. And he said, I just had to write you a letter and let you know how much I appreciate what you did for me. Let me tell you something, folks. You never know. I mean, I was what? 19? 19 years of age? Wow, that's a long time ago. That's back before the war. You stay out of this. Nobody woke you up. Just be quiet. You see, folks, you never know. God can use anybody. He could even use a 19-year-old kid with pimples on his face to stand in an auditorium full of teenagers, give the gospel, and have folks get saved. I'll guarantee you, old Nicodemus was probably standing there looking at the Lord Jesus being wrapped up in that linen and then taking all that valuable myrrh and all those valuable spices and pouring them on the corpse, the body of our Savior. And I'm sure that when they picked his body up and carried it inside that tomb, Nicodemus probably thought, wow, why did I wait so long? Why did I wait so long to give my all to the Savior? And folks, I think there's a lot of people, they get down to the end of their lives and they're going to say, man, I sure wish I had done more. I wish I had been more devoted. I wish I had read my Bible more. I'll guarantee you, folks, you can't go wrong serving the Lord. How can you honor Christ? Give Him your heart. Give Him yourself. Don't wait for tragedy. Don't wait until sin has wrecked and ruined your health. No, serve Him now while you can. You see, through the life of Nicodemus, we can see how God sometimes works and how God draws sinners to repentance. You hear the gospel, just like Nicodemus did in chapter 3. You understand, you see the testimony of the Lord Jesus. You know that there's something about the Lord Jesus. And then, as our prayer is, as Nicodemus honored Christ, our prayer is that now we will honor the Lord Jesus ourselves. Folks, a lot of folks put off till tomorrow what they ought to do today. And then the more you put it off, the easier it gets to put it off. So I'm asking you tonight to make the right decision to serve the Lord. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father in heaven, I pray that you will speak to every heart here tonight. Father, I ask you to give us conviction of heart. Here's this man, Nicodemus, a religious man, a man with a lot of prestige, a man with a lot of honor, but it was all given to him by his peers. He was religious but lost. And the Lord Jesus explained to him the gospel. And somewhere along the way, Nicodemus believed it. He stood up when nobody else would. He spoke for Jesus when nobody else would. And I'm sure that there are folks listening right now, and if they don't speak up for the Lord Jesus on their job, nobody else is going to do it. If they don't speak up for the Lord, who's going to do it? And Father, we need to just take Nicodemus's life and realize that it's in the Bible for some reason. And maybe it's so it can be, his life can be an example to each and every one of us. Father, help us not to wait until we're old and gray and decrepit to say, I want to serve the Lord. No, Father, help us to serve Him now. Bless what's been said tonight. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.